either by messenger or by letter, he received questions that he was given to answer. Verse 1 of, I guess if I was in the right book. Verse 1 of chapter 7 says, "Now concerning the things about which you wrote." So we spent pretty much all of chapter 7 talking about marriage and relationships. We then went into chapter 8 and talked of how we are to respond to people who might have different thoughts on different subjects. Paul used the example of those who were unable to eat food sacrificed to idols, and how love is supposed to prevail above that. And as an extension, last week we looked at Paul and his defense, first of all, of himself as an apostle. And we talked a little bit about what an apostle really was. And then the need and the responsibility of the church to care for not only Paul and Barnabas and the other apostles, but then also men that he raises up to lead the flock, and how the church is responsible for that. And Paul made the statement, "You give to everything else, why are you not caring for those who care for your soul?" And then Paul is going to kind of keep on that same subject with a twist, starting with verse 15. So let's go ahead and we'll read verses 15 through 23 this morning. "But I have used none of these things," this stuff that this responsibility of the church to care for and provide for its leaders and teachers. He says, "I have used none of these things, and I am not writing these things so that it will be done so in my case. For it would be better for me to die than to have any man make my boast an empty one. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Then what is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I become as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as do under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I might by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it." Father, we ask your blessing upon this reading of your word this morning. Now, Lord, as we dive into it, as we try to dissect it to see how we can apply these truths to our lives, we ask the guidance of your Holy Spirit this morning. Give me the words to say, Father, that you might speak to us today through your written word. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as Paul starts out in verse 15, he says, "I have used none of these things." Paul just laid out how it's the responsibility of those within the church to care for those leaders that are preaching the Word of God, that are teaching them, that are helping to raise them up spiritually. And we went through all the intricacies of that last week. But Paul says, I have used none of these things. And he says, I'm not writing these things so that it will be done so in my case. Paul says, I'm not telling you what I just told you so you guys will feel guilty and then give more so that I can be taken care of. That is not his motive. That is not his purpose. For it would be better for me to die than to have any man make a boast, my boast, an empty one. Paul was perfectly capable of caring for himself. Now, whether this was by means of his tent making that he would probably do at some point during the day to get funds, or whether this was, however Paul's subsistence was provided, it was provided outside of the church. And while he says he has all the right for the church to care for him, I'm not teaching this so that I might be taken care of. Because I don't want anybody to say, you're only doing this for the money. And we talked a little bit about last week how there are people who are in the quote-unquote ministry who look at it as a cushy type job. That maybe their job is more in the area of counseling or whatever they have to do. But to them it is a job. And with a job comes a paycheck. Paul says, I don't want you to look at me as somebody having a job. He says, it would be better for me to die than have any man make my boast an empty one. Look at that, Paul. Going around talking about this Jesus and people just throwing money at him, getting rich off of that message. Paul says, no, not me. That's not how I want to be known. And in much the same way, I see God has provided in my life to where I don't feel pressure from you guys to quote unquote support my every need. On the opposite side of that, we look at Paul and we think of him as probably being, we definitely raise him up on a pedestal as being the world's best Christian. We would probably even say that he was the world's most productive Christian outside of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because all we read through the book of Acts was all this stuff that Paul did. How effective he was. My wonder is how much more effective he could have been if he didn't have to make tents, if he could spend all of his time in the study of God's Word and the teaching and proclaiming of it. But Paul says, I don't want you to look at me as being somebody who says, I'm in this for the money. Because Paul's reward is as follows. Verse 16. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for I am under compulsion. Paul says, I'm doing not only what I love to do, I'm doing the only thing that I am capable of doing, I'm doing the only thing that I can do. I'm under compulsion to it. For woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. He says, for if I do it voluntarily, I have a reward. If I proclaim the gospel, if I do it of my own volition, if I'm not being forced or coerced into it, I have a reward. And what is that reward? That reward is souls and hearts coming to Jesus Christ, lives being changed, being moved from the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God. Paul having a hand in that. God being able to use him for that. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward. And even if I do it against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Well, what's he mean by that? Even if I do it against my will. And the only thing I could come up with this is that there's just times that we, out of everybody who's ever been a Christian, could we not have expected Paul to grow weary, to grow tired, discouraged? Do we ever get to points in our life? I mean, how many days have you gotten up to go to work? I think of poor Jerry over the next day or two, as he's going to have to be in Noah's Ark delivering the mail. How many days have you woken up and said, I just don't feel like going in today. I just don't feel like it. But he goes because he has a responsibility to provide for his family. Much the same way we do in the same situations. So Paul says, if I do it voluntarily, if things are going well and everything's going great and I'm enjoying what I'm doing and hearts and souls are coming to Christ, I get my reward. Or if I do it under compulsion, things aren't going so great. People aren't responding the way that he wants them to respond. The Lord's Spirit is not opening hearts at this time. It's hard and difficult. Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this voluntarily, I have a reward, but if against my will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. Christian, God does not need us, but God uses us. And he has entrusted each and every one of us who know him with the ability to profess his gospel. That is our job. Our responsibility as believers, our main responsibility, is not to get the world to change their thinking about our pet peeve, our pet sin, our pet worldview. That is not our main responsibility. Even in this society today, with all that's going on, our main responsibility as Christians is not to change people's minds about abortion and homosexuality and everything else. Our main job, Our main responsibility is to profess the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then with changed hearts will come changed minds. We have a stewardship that's entrusted to us, much like the Apostle Paul. So Paul says in verse 18, "What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel." You will hardly ever hear me talk to you as a congregation about your responsibilities in giving. Unless it's clearly in the text, like it was last week, you will never hear me get up and make pleas for more money. Because I will trust God that He will provide. And He does that through you. I don't want people coming to this assembly thinking they need to pay for the Word of God. And even if at some point in time this church grows to a number that would be able to support a full-time pastor, and if that pastor were to be me, I would never want that remuneration to be considered a paycheck. Because what I do for ministry's sake. I do because I love you and I want to see you grow. The ministry to me is not a job. And Paul didn't want people to look at him in that way. I remember back, this was many, many years ago when Beth and I were first married. We went to a good old-fashioned Southern camp meeting. Friends of ours were kind of behind-the-scenes preparers of this camp meeting. Good old Southern preaching. Amen. Calls for repentance. But come Friday night when it was over, this is what stuck in my mind more than anything else. Those same men who were calling people to the gospel were complaining about how much the offerings were and how much money they were taking home. That is not what Paul wanted to be known for. Paul did not want to be known for preaching for money. And he did just that. And he explains a little bit more beginning in verse 19. "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more." Now remember, chapter 8, Paul pretty much just told everybody that we have the right as believers, if it falls within our conscience, as long as it is not sin, as long as the Bible does not call it out, or it's illegal, or however else we want to look at things, that we are free. But now he qualifies it. For though I am free from all men, I'm free just like you are. Though I am free that nobody can tell me what their personal opinions are and I have to actually go by that, I have made myself a slave to all so that I may win more. Even though I have the freedom to eat food sacrificed from idols, if Zach has a problem with me eating food sacrificed to idols, I will bow and make myself a slave to Zach. For what purpose? So that I may win more. Now the next few verses people have taken out of context. Not that people take any of the Bible verses out of context or all, but they have used this to say many, many things. They have used these to say, well, if I want to win Seymour over here, who's a drunk, Paul says I need to become a drunk. That's not what he's saying. And let's read and dig into this. To the Jews, I have become as a Jew so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the laws, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. And these two categories are pretty much the same. To the Jews, I have become a Jew. To Jews who are under the law, I have set myself as under the law. It doesn't mean that Paul changes everything in his life and follows the Orthodox Orthodox Judaism. It's not what I quite wanted, but it's close. But what it does mean is he's got sympathy towards it. Remember young Timothy, when he was about to take Timothy out on one of his journeys, he had Timothy circumcised. Timothy did not need to be circumcised. There is no law in Scripture, New Testament Scripture, with Christ that says that we must be call upon the name of the Lord and be circumcised and be saved. No. But he had Timothy circumcised so that they would have an easier time talking to Jews and giving them the gospel. That's what he's saying here. Not that he has to agree with their position, but he has empathy towards their position. To the Jews, I become as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law. And he is not going to be deceitful in any way. He is not going to tell them, oh, you're Jewish and you fall under the law. I'm Jewish too and I fall under the law. That's not what he's saying. He's saying he is just going to have compassion. He is going to have empathy towards them. He is not going to flaunt his freedoms in front of them. But if he can help to become as a slave to them, so that he might win them to the gospel, that's his purpose. To those who are without the law, as without the law. Okay, who are without the law? Everybody who's not a Jew. So the entire Gentile world, Paul says, to these Gentiles who are without the law, as without law. Okay, now if we just left it there, we could take that and do a lot with it. You know, this is another case where, you know, if Seymour's a drunk, then we can go ahead and we can become a drunk to win Seymour. He clarifies that. To those who are without the law is without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. Paul says, I can be sympathetic. I can empathize with those, what we would call heathen people, who do all sorts of things that we would not do. I don't have to join them in the sin, but then I don't need to avoid them completely either if I can get an inroad to share the gospel of Christ. Do we realize how powerful the gospel of Christ is? Do we realize the power that we have when we communicate the gospel? And really, I don't think we do, because I don't think we communicate it as much as we should. I know I don't. So how are we going to come in here on Sundays praising the name of God and the power of His gospel when we're either too obedient, too scared, or too busy to communicate it? Who needs the gospel more? Everybody. Whether they're under the law or not under the law, whether they're black, white, Asian, Latino, everybody needs the gospel. And if we know Christ, then we know the gospel. And it's our responsibility to communicate that. To the weak, I have become weak, that I might win the weak. This one kind of threw me a little bit. How do you become weak? To the weak, I have become weak. We have that same sympathy, that same empathy to the weak. We don't go before them, parading before them all that we have. But we can come down to their level. We can know what they're going through. Have you ever talked to somebody who's in the midst of despair, and you've said something to them like, I know what you're going through? Have you ever gotten the reaction from them on that? Brother, you have no idea what I'm going through. Can we weaken ourselves? Can we try to see where they're at? Do you realize that one of the most productive fields of harvest for people coming to know the Savior is during times of great distress? To those who are weak, we become as if we are weak. Paul says, I have become all things to all men so that I might by all means win some. Remember who Paul was Paul was the Pharisee of Pharisees. He put himself up on a pedestal himself as a Pharisee. He was so zealous he was ready to kill people who did not bow to Judaism in the way that he did. Jesus Christ? Blasphemer? You must die. That was Paul. He had the knowledge of the great high priest who was his teacher. But now he says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Most everybody here today lives pretty humble means. We don't have anybody within our congregation who I would put in the category of being wealthy. Yes, some of us live better than others. And hopefully we see that as God's grace. But I don't see anyone within our congregation that spends the bulk of their time out trying to build themselves up materially. But do we do all things for the sake of the gospel? If we're not trying to be CEO of Walmart, if all we're doing is trying to scrape by and pay our bills, we should have more time for the gospel. And I don't know what the communication of the gospel would look like with everybody in this room. To some, communication of the gospel means going out on a street corner somewhere, Bible in hand, yelling at the top of your lungs, hoping somebody hears some catchphrase that you're saying and stops and listens and asks questions. That's a legitimate communication of the gospel. Others, they give a gospel presentation behind a wooden box such as this. That is a legitimate communication of the gospel. For some of us, it might mean just talking to our friends, neighbors, and family. But we do need to speak. The Bible is clear. How will they hear if no one tells them? To think that you living your life in such a glorious manner that you silently communicate the gospel is a fallacy. Now, it may help. The way you live your life may help in your communication, but do you realize the way you live your life may also hurt your communication? And maybe sometimes we don't communicate the gospel because people would look at us and say, the words that he's saying doesn't match up to what I saw him doing last Friday night. Our joy, our reward, needs to be in the propagation of the gospel, in seeing souls come to Jesus Christ, in being used by God. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. But we can be used of God to bring salvation to somebody. Do you remember back as a kid on this Father's Day? Maybe you're helping your dad in some kind of endeavor. Maybe he let you help him work on the car. Maybe he helped you build a deck. Maybe he let you help him build a barbecue grill. And at the end of that, even though you at 6 years old didn't do a whole lot, your dad would say, "Thanks, son, for all the help." That's, in a small way, what our part is in the gospel of Christ. We don't save anybody. We plant the seed. We can water it. But it's God who brings the increase. May we be obedient to be used of Him like the Apostle Paul was here in this passage. Father, I thank You that we can be part of You. That, Father, You do use us. And that it's important in Your plan for us to be obedient. Father, this is a truth that I've only seen within the last 10 years or so of my life. And I'm still learning it more and more. Father, continue to grow us in Your Word, in the knowledge of Your Word, in the propagation of Your Word, in the proclaiming of Your Word, before it's too late, before we run out of strength, before we run out of breath. May You be our life, our light, our all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.